Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. The founding members of the band Psychopath Etiquette are literally a band of brothers. David Sprague and his brother Paul from Southern Maine have basically been playing music together their whole lives, but only seriously for the last 10 years. And this iteration has been together since the summer of 2019. If folk rock had a baby, it would be Psychopath Etiquette. David joins me on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about this band and their life of music together. Hi, David. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, how's it going?
Great. Great to talk to you. You are in Maine, is that right? Awesome. How's the weather up there these days?
It's been raining the last couple of days, but it's been just cold outside of that, so I'll take the rain.
No snow yet. Huh? We're talking in December, so it should show up any time, right?
Right.
You have a band with your brother Paul, is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
Yeah. So obviously you guys grew up together. When did you start making music together? When was that a thing for you guys?
We've been playing together off and on since we were kids, basically. So we've always kind of made music together, but it's never really been official, and we've never really taken it super seriously until just recently.
How far apart are you guys in age?
He's 3 years younger than me.
Okay. So did you guys kind of go about your own life, different kind of careers, and then come back together? Or did you always dabble a little bit along the way?
We went different ways for a while. But we always sort of, like, every few years, we get back together and, like, jam for a couple weeks, and then, things would happen. I mean, life just happens, but, yeah.
So I take it you guys live in close proximity to each other at this present time, then?
At this present time, we lived together, actually. But, yeah, he lived in Rhode Island for a while. I lived in Boston.
Yeah, okay. So so this new iteration of what you guys are doing is fairly new then, right? This is kind of a new band?
It's been about a year since we've been calling ourselves Psychopath Etiquette, and since we've been sort of consistently playing and writing songs together and stuff, so relatively new, for sure.
So I wanted to ask you, where did the name come about? That's kind of a you can come up with all kinds of thoughts when you hear that name.
That's one of the things that I like about it, is that, like, it's not necessarily a solid idea, but just the kind of ideas that it implies.
Uh-huh.
And it just sort of stuck with me, and then we got the URL, and that sort of sealed the deal. That's an important part of it, but yeah, I like the way that the words play together, and we just settled on it.
One of the thoughts that it doesn't conjure up for me when I hear that name is the idea of folk rock. And it's on the fringe, of course, but I listened to some of your music, and clearly there's a hint of singer-songwriter, folk rock in the music. What was the influence that brought you to the sound?
We grew up growing up, my mom always listened to folk and, like, classical country music. And my first real musical memory was, like, sneaking off to listen to Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
And then we kind of grew up, and you know, we found our own music and sort of turned away from the, you know, the folk stuff and got into the rock. And then eventually I just sort of settled on both. I learned to appreciate them both. And that's sort of where we're naturally inclined for it. Like, I love the piano and I love the electric guitar, but I also love the acoustic guitar. So mm-hmm. we kind of use all of them as often as we can.
Yeah. And are you writing, is this 100% original, or do you guys throw in some of those, the kind of the folky classic covers as well?
We definitely do some covers, but all of our music is original. But yeah, we like to see covers sort of spanning all of the genres, if you can.
What kind of audience do you see being attracted to what you guys are doing? Is there a, can you tell? Is it drawing a particular group or style of listener?
I would say that we're, like, not so far off the beaten path that, like, people who like mainstream music won't like our music. I think that we have a kind of a wide audience, which is one of the things that we like. But, yeah, we play, you know, not generic music, but close enough to it. Uh-huh. I mean, yeah, there's kind of a poppy vibe, there's kind of a folky vibe, there's kind of a rocky vibe, and
yeah,
we kind of mix it all. I haven't seen a particular type of person who likes our music. It seems to be of, like, all kinds. It takes all kinds. So they all seem to be different, but the thing that brings them together. I mean, our most popular song is When Anxiety is Attacked, and that, like, what I think the popularity of it is because of just how everyone can relate to it. It's completely...
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone's dealt with it in some way or another, and everyone gets what we're talking about when we talk about it. So,
being a fairly new band, did you guys get to get out and play some before we entered into this pandemic craziness going on?
Yeah, so we definitely had started going to shows. We were having trouble, like, making it work logistically. Just because of life and, like, all yeah. of our, all of the other stuff. We both still work full-time jobs, so.
Right.
The pandemic really pushed us into streaming in, like, a full-on way, which we found out was actually the best thing that could have happened for us.
Uh-huh.
Because, yeah, we just love it. So we stream, like, four nights a week, and it's great. And the people, it's different people, sometimes it's the same people, and it's just, like, they can interact with us, we interact with them, and
yeah.
it's just a much better way for us to perform than, like, going out to, like, an open mic or whatever, or going out to a bar where people are just talking and we're in the background. It's, like, people are... I'd rather have, like, 20 people come to see just us play than play in front of 100 people who are, like, yeah. going about their lives.
Right, you know right, I mean? Yeah, yeah. So when you do your streaming event, is that just the two of you guys, or do you have a couple other folks join you to get the full band feel?
We'll usually play, like, a cut down version, and it will just be. But we have other people come on stuff too. But for the most part, it's just me and him. We're the main people on the stream for the most part. But we have, like, bongos and acoustic guitar, and then we have drums and electric guitar, and we'll switch up. And, yeah. and I've got a piano down there too. Stuff.
So yeah.
We do. All of it.
Who's the main songwriter?
I write the lyrics, and I write, he's the drummer. He writes the drums. He also writes a lot of bass guitar for us, for the albums and such. And he writes some guitar parts as well. So we kind of take it all together. And I'll write the piano and, like, a good chunk of the guitar.
Do you guys bring other folks in to play that when it's time to record these? Or are you guys taking care of that?
No, we play all the instruments
okay.
right now. Eventually, I'd love to have some of my musical friends, and I probably will once, obviously, the restrictions are up or whatever, however we figure that out, but... we obviously have musical friends that we'd love to bring in, but for now it's just us playing the instruments.
Yeah.
And we love to do it, so.
Do you have a particular formula or style when you go about writing some of your music? I know everybody's different. It's always interesting to hear how each artist approaches the songwriting process.
I will always just, so I go through phases. So for like 6 months, I won't write anything. And then I'll have like a 2 month period where I'm writing like a song every other day or whatever. But what I do is I'll just pick up like an acoustic guitar and just basically walk around in a circle, and just make stuff up until something sticks.
Yeah, cool.
And so I don't write my lyrics down, so anything that sticks like sort of passes that first barrier of approval, and that's kind of how I write songs. That's how I've always written songs.
So, I think I read maybe about a year ago that you guys put this EP together, Rough Draft, and that's what's presently out, right? Available for people?
Yes, that is. It's everywhere that you'd want to find music. So, yeah, that was. It's very true to the name. It is very rough, but it. But that was the goal. The goal was just to get something that people could listen to and get their hands on as fast as possible. So we took 2 days basically in the basement and just cranked out the songs that we were playing at the time.
Yeah.
But now we're back in the studio and we're sort of taking it more seriously and taking our time with it. But that won't be out until later, or beginning next year probably.
And what does back in the studio look like for you guys? Is this a home studio or are you going somewhere and getting help with some outside folks?
It's a home studio. We're basically going to give it one more try, because we were pretty happy with the EP, the way that it came out, like us doing it all in-house. But there were obviously things that we learned doing that and things that we can do better. So we've upgraded our home studio, and now we're going to like record a full album in it and see what we can do ourselves. And if we're happy with the quality of that, then I don't think we'll ever go anywhere else. We'll just keep updating our own studio.
Yeah, okay. So obviously you've got some new material that you're going to add to the EP?
I actually think that aside from maybe one or two songs, the EP is just going to stand on its own. I don't think we're going to re-record any of those songs. We got a full album worth of new material.
Oh, so it's all going to be new music then that you're not you're creating new for this for the album project.
Yes.
What does it look like for you guys when the restrictions are over? How would you like to see this progress?
I think that we're going to focus on an online presence even after the restrictions are done.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we will have some like local shows, but like the focus will be on like friends and people in the area, and we'll put on the shows ourselves rather than like going out to venues and trying to get them to do it. But the main focus is going to be online. I think that it fits better with us and it's more into what we're trying to do.
Is this a something that you'd like to take on the road? Is touring and getting outside of your local area something that you guys are would like to do?
I mean, yeah, for sure. Down the road, a tour, and especially a tour of like other countries, would be obviously amazing and a great opportunity and a lot of fun. So yeah, once we get obviously the restrictions lifted, but yeah, when we get some real support and we've got other people who can play the instruments with us that we love and trust, and yes, when the band expands, we'll definitely look into touring and hitting the road and all that.
Yeah.
From jazz.
Yeah. Have you gotten any sort of airplay locally, regionally, nationally, internationally? Have you been able to get that with the EP?
We've hit some charts. Yeah, for sure. In Europe and South Africa. But, yeah, and there's been a lot of play. Not really locally, but that's us, really. We haven't really pushed for that.
Yeah.
We probably could if we tried, but we've been focusing elsewhere right now. But
So you said internationally, and you even mentioned South Africa. Are you? It's interesting. I always find it curious when bands that have kind of this eclectic, you know, almost more of a tribe feel for their music. You know, you either migrate towards it or you don't, and then you realize that you've got fans outside of probably any sort of personal connection that you can make. Do you get to interact with those folks? Can you get a sense of what it is that draws them into what you do?
I think that a lot of it is like just kind of the rawness of the music. And I mean that in all the senses of the word.
Uh-huh.
But it's very personal songs, and they're very like genuine, and not like, they're not like one way or the other a lot of the times. It's like, I would say that it's been like 10 years since I've written like a love song. It's just like straight up yeah, happy about love, and maybe that's partly my life and maybe it's not, but it's like, it's just not that cut and dry in the real world, you know what I mean? It's never just all roses and rainbows.
Sure, yeah.
There's always some turmoil, and so the happy songs always have a little bit of a tint to them, and the sad songs always have a little bit of hope in them, and I think that resonates with people more than anything. And the other thing is that the amazing thing about the online presence is that I can talk to people from Russia.
Yeah.
Who like my music, and they're like teaching Russian words enough, and it's the most fulfilling I've ever been in music.
Wow.
It's just being able to literally interact.
Yeah.
In real time with fans as they're listening to our music. It's great.
I think from a fan's perspective, it's probably very enriching as well, because, you know, prior to this, it was very hard for a fan to get real close to a musician. Now, obviously, certain genres are a little different than others, but to be able to be entertained by someone's music and then have a real-time interaction, I think it seems the fan as making that deeper connection really seems to give them a much more full experience of your music.
Yeah, plus it's a different kind of fan that you end up with, because these people aren't just buying into like a song that they hear on the radio or like a catchy chorus. It's like they're buying into us as people, you know what I mean? They get to see who we are and our personalities and stuff. So at the end of the day, like, they're not even there for the music at the end of the day.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
it's something bigger than that.
Yeah.
So, and that's sort of our strategy going forward. Like, we've always said that we'd rather have 1,000 ravenous fans than 100,000 people who like a song on the radio. Like,
sure.
No question.
Yeah. So is this something that you see a future with you and Paul and this particular version of your music?
For sure. I think that this new album is going to be much more. So the EP is very much what we've been doing for the past like 10 years. It's obviously like a better version of it, but
yeah,
it's very recognizable if you've listened to any of our music that we've done separately or together and over our lifetimes. But this new album, I think, is going to be a lot more focused on the future of our music.
Okay, yeah.
As opposed to where the EP was more like a tribute to the past of our music. But I think we're gonna try some new things, and I think that there's a place in the world for the music that we make that's sort of timeless.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
So
you mentioned that the EP is out there where folks can get their hands on it. If they want to reach you, get in touch, want to get involved in your live streaming, what's the best way to communicate with you guys?
So our Facebook page is our biggest by far. We have like 10,000 followers on there. But yeah, that's where we stream. We stream to other places too, but that's the main place and the easiest place to get in touch with us. It's a, like you said, pretty unique name. No one else kind of has anything really close to it.
Yeah.
So if you just type Psychopath Etiquette into Google, you're going to get just us pretty much for the first couple pages, which is nice.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, our Facebook page, we're always there, and that's the easiest way to get a hold of us. And just say hi, you know? I mean, we get that. one of my favorite things is just I get notifications of just people commenting on our songs and being like,
yeah,
like, thanks for putting this out in the world. And that kind of stuff just makes my day all day. Like, I'm way too happy. Like, I shouldn't be this happy. It's not fair.
Well, I'm really glad that that's your experience with what you do, because it's, you know, not especially in the way the world is today. A lot of people don't get to feel that way about their craft and their art. So congratulations
for sure.
On
and
that.
It's been a long road to get to that time.
Yeah,
for sure. I've been told several times that I don't have a career in music, so I should stop. So yeah, you just have to get through a bunch of those.
Yeah, right. Well, it's never been a better time to have a career in music than right now. So
for sure, yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah, good. Well, thanks, David. This has been awesome getting to talk to you and learn about what you guys do. And we certainly wish you the best with the album coming up.
Yeah, man. Thanks for taking the time. This has been good.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.